All right. Welcome, everyone, to Ascend Live. We are calling this episode Baseline Data Now because right now things may be going very poorly in your school. You may have had a very rough start to the school, and it may feel like you're looking at the before picture, right? You know, you see those before and after pictures, and the after picture is amazing, whether it's something that got cleaned or painted or whether it's a person after some transformation. You know, we want to be the after picture, but right now it might feel a little bit like the before picture. And our essential question today is, what can we do with that? How can we establish baseline data for our future accomplishments by setting goals based on our current problems and opportunities? So what we're essentially doing here is we're reframing what's going very poorly now, or what we're really struggling with now, and saying, hey, those are precisely the things that I need to set some goals around, and precisely the things that I need to focus on, so that in the coming months we can show big gains, so we can show big growth, and so that as instructional leaders we can show a big impact. Give me a yes in the comments or a thumbs up emoji or whatever works for you if you can still see and hear. We've had some technical difficulties tonight. Just want to make sure we're in good shape. So I've seen this all around the internet. I've heard this from our members and clients. Students are really struggling with the adjustment to come back to school. It's not just TikTok. It is also social skills, socialization, the pandemic, just all of the stuff that kids are dealing with, that teachers are dealing with. This has been a challenging year, to say the least. And I know many, many people that I've heard from, thank you, Rebecca, I appreciate that, are dealing with a far higher workload from discipline, staffing challenges, hiring challenges, substitute challenges, bus driver challenges, behavior challenges, classroom management challenges. And all of that is really weighing on assistant principals especially, but principals as well. And I think we've got to keep in mind that this may last for a while, but it won't last forever. And we have an opportunity here to turn things around in the coming months, because we know they're going to get better. And the more, you know, honestly, the more room we have for improvement, the more improvement we could show, right? If you think about investment, right? If you were to buy a house, do you want to buy a house when prices are sky high? Or do you want to buy a house when the bottom has just fallen out of the market and prices have really dropped? If you're going to invest in the stock market, do you want to do that? Do you want to buy high and sell low? Or do you want to buy low and sell high, right? We want to buy when prices are low. And when it comes to collecting baseline data, right, we would never purposefully sync our before data, our baseline data. You know, we don't tell the kids in the fall, hey, it doesn't matter how you do on this test. We just want to show growth, so you guys should just not try very hard. Now, you know, we don't do stuff like that. But we do know that if our fall scores are low and we show big, you know, we show big gains, then, you know, that's going to have a certain impact. And right now, we've got some data, probably, if we go ahead and measure some of what's happening right now, that can show a big improvement between now and the middle of the year. If you're watching on Facebook, you can leave comments, and I would greatly appreciate it if you could, because again, we've been having some technical difficulties, and that will help me make sure that everything is working. If you're not a Facebook user, you can text me directly at 501-222-4415, and I will put that in the comments as well, and I will keep an eye on that. I know we have some people who are using that option, and I greatly appreciate it, and sometimes Facebook comments don't work all that well, so I greatly appreciate that. If you want to comment anonymously, feel free to do it via text as well. I will not read your name if you text me. So what are some of the things that are bad right now? I want to ask you to text me or leave a comment. What are some things in your school that are just off to a rough start? Maybe worse than usual, maybe the worst they've ever been. For me, I would say the internet has been bad, but for you, what is it in your school that's been difficult? Maybe you've had staffing challenges. Maybe you have had hiring challenges. Maybe you have had teachers quitting. I saw one person had a teacher quit just today. Has that happened to you? What is difficult or challenging right now, much more so than usual, right? Last year, it was all virtual learning. Oh, we're dealing with the pivot to virtual learning. Teachers aren't sure what to do. We've got technology issues. So it was very much related to virtual and technology last year. I'm hearing different things this year. Scott says attendance is way different this year. Student behaviors are extreme. Teachers are very tired. Sub shortage. Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Scott. Scott also says escalated behaviors. Yeah, we've got lots of things that are an especially big challenge. Bunny says resignations. you know, we're not used to the number of resignations that we're seeing. People just saying, I'm out, I don't want to do this job anymore, and quitting mid-year. Certainly very challenging to deal with, and often kind of a blocking issue, right? You've got to solve that before you can solve other things. Staffing challenges, looking at data. Yeah, so this is a rough year in a lot of ways. Go ahead and leave, keep leaving those comments there. Jim says staffing for special education, behavior. Absolutely. So we could look at lots and lots of different possible things that are not in great shape right now. And I made a list ahead of time, see if some of these are happening in your school. Bullying is a big one. I think, you know, a lot of kids mostly have interacted with each other through social media, especially at the high school level. And maybe that has not all been positive. Maybe some of that is spilling over into school. Classroom environment may be off to a rough start. You may be getting a ton of referrals. You may have new teachers who are sending you lots of referrals. You may have veteran teachers who are sending you lots of referrals. People may be exhausted. I didn't put exhaustion on here, but somebody said that just a moment ago, and I think that's right on. We're exhausted. Teachers are exhausted. Families may be challenging. You may be getting nasty comments from families. It seems like that's on the rise. Hallway behaviors may be a challenge. And here's the thing about all of these challenges that we're facing. Whatever it is, that's the work, right? We have in our heads this portrait of what our job should be, right? I would like to get into classrooms. I would like to give feedback to teachers. I would like to look at data, but I've got to deal with all this other stuff. And the reality is that whatever is interfering with teaching and learning, that becomes our work, right? It's that other duties as assigned line in your contract that, you know, if something comes up, if a bear comes onto the playground, well, you know, we don't say I'm an instructional leader. I don't deal with bears. We figure out what needs to happen to keep the kids safe while the bear gets dealt with, right? And we've got a lot of bears on the playground this year, maybe as a metaphor for all of those things that we just talked about. So whatever we're dealing with, solving that is the job, right? That is the work of school leaders. Even if it's not what we like specifically signed up for, this is what we signed up for, to figure out how to solve those pressing problems. And what I want to challenge you to think about today is how to set goals to address those problems. And I'm not exactly sure what to do for hiring. I don't have any kind of magic wand for staffing to make qualified teachers show up or to make the struggling teachers stick around and tough it out. I don't have a magic wand for you. So my sympathies, my hat goes off to you, my heart goes out to you, and I think we'll get through this one step at a time. I'm just going to be honest. I don't have a solution for you for hiring. I think, you know, we've got to be creative. We've got a lot of challenges on that front. When it comes to instruction, when it comes to classroom management, when it comes to behavior, I want to share with you a strategy called Going Upstream that is based on Dan Heath's book, Upstream. And this is an opportunity that you really have in the coming months to shine as a leader and to develop some accomplishments that can really stand out in the coming months. And if you're interested in learning more about Dan Heath's book, Upstream, I had Dan on Principal Center Radio, so you can go to our website or go into your podcast player and just look for Upstream in Principal Center Radio. And what I want to encourage you to do in the coming months, again, is set some goals to improve those things that are your biggest sources of problems, right? If you have a classroom where a ton of referrals are coming to the office, or if you have a hallway where there's just a lot of passing time discipline issues, or if you have a bus where there are just a lot of bus behavior referrals, then that is the place that we want to focus and set some goals and say, okay, here's what I'm going to do to improve in this area. The one thing you've got to do right now is capture your data. And I'm going to type that in the comments here so that everybody can see that, because I don't have it on the slide. Capture your data. You've got to get some before data. You've got to take a snapshot of that before picture, just like, you know, when people go in for teeth whitening or whatever thing they're advertising. They always take a before picture so they can take an after picture and show the improvement. That is what you want to do in the coming months, so that A, you can set some goals to really be able to have some improvement, right? Like, having the improvement is the immediate purpose of doing this, right? But showing the improvement is also important. You need to know the impact of your work, and you need to be able to tell the impact of your work in the coming months for your job search. So specifically, where this is going to show up is on your resume. And of course, if you implement some great new thing to have a big impact on your school, you can of course write about that in your cover letter. But today I want to show you a way that you can do this specifically in your resume bullets under the accomplishments section for your current job. In your resume, you know, we've done trainings on the resume in the past, and I believe your resume should have 4 to 7 bullets for each job that you've held, including your current job. You might include a little bit less detail for older jobs, but for your current job, you want to have probably 5, 6, or 7 bullets that are very detailed, that describe specific accomplishments, and maybe if you have a couple of things that are related, you can lump them together in one bullet, but you want those to be accomplishments. And this is a huge, huge, huge mistake that I see people making, especially people who are looking for principal positions and they are currently assistant principals, or people who are like a dean of students and they're looking for an assistant principal position. It is incredibly common on your resume to list things like, well, you know, I'm the assistant principal at such and such middle school and I deal with transportation, attendance, discipline, and test coordination. That is the kind of stuff that I hear on, or that I see on people's resumes all the time. And the problem with that is that it doesn't make you stand out. You do not want to put your duties on your resume. Nobody needs to see your duties on your resume. Instead, we want to have accomplishments, because the thing about duties on your resume is that they don't make you stand out from every other person in the world who has the same job that you do, right? Most of the people that you're competing with this coming year have the same job that you do, right? If you're applying for a principal position, you're mostly competing with other assistant principals who have, guess what, mostly the same duties. And the people who are screening and doing the interviewing and, you know, deciding who gets an interview, they pretty much know the duties of an assistant principal. So you don't need to tell them what your duties are on your resume. We don't want to waste that space by talking about duties. We want to really give a sense of what accomplishments you've had that show that you're ready for that next level role. Because duties are about the job that you currently have, not the job that you are applying for. Now, I want to compare a couple of different options here for some bullet points that you might put on your resume. You could put discipline, right? I see that one all the time. People say assistant principal, whatever, whatever middle school, responsible for discipline. And that's the whole bullet. Well, what if you were more descriptive and you said, handled all discipline for ninth graders, applying consequences according to the discipline matrix? Well, that's a little, you know, more substantive sounding, but it's still a duty. But what if instead of listing a duty, you said something like this, the long one here. Implemented restorative justice program to reduce out-of-school suspensions, resulting in a 50% increase in peer mediation and a 63% decrease in the number of students receiving out-of-school suspension from October 2021 to January 2022. What if you had that kind of accomplishment on your resume? Do you think that would make you stand out in the pile if everybody else is saying stuff like responsible for discipline, but you can show a specific impact that you had by sharing baseline data and outcome data, giving a time interval, and then saying what you did to change your data, right? I think we're so obsessed with collecting data in this profession. I don't know how we got so interested in collecting data that often we forget to do something with it. And the most important thing we should do with that data is take action, right? If we collect data, we might collect data 3 times a year and never do anything with it. Why not take some action and set some goals? And I love it anytime your career self-interest aligns perfectly with what's good for students. I'm not a big fan of doing stuff to kind of pad your resume. I'm not a big fan of just racking up accomplishments, you know, just for the sake of advancing your own career. I think we've got to be careful about that, and we've got to have some integrity in doing the work for the kids that we're here to serve. But this is a place where those interests perfectly align, right? You want to show your impact. You want to show that you're ready for more responsibility. And what better way to do that than to take your data that you've got right now, make a plan, have an impact, and then show that impact. So let's take a look at how we can show that impact on the resume after doing that work in the coming months. So your accomplishment bullets on your resume should list specific projects that you completed, worded in the past tense. Now, maybe the work is still ongoing, but you still want to put it in the past tense. You want to include those numeric outcomes, that before and after data, if they're good. You know, if you got a 1% increase, that's probably not worth listing. But, you know, if you had a big impact, make sure you say so. And you want to clarify what your role was with an active verb. You don't want to say served on the committee that advised so-and-so. And like, you don't want to remove yourself from it. You want to give the reader a vivid sense of how you were involved. Implemented, created, developed, overhauled, some sort of active verb. And then not only can you use that on your resume, you can use it in your cover letter and in interviews as a story. So here are a couple of examples. Feel free to screenshot these and then make your own based on your own situation. First of all, let's see, reduced monthly out-of-school suspensions by 32% from fall 2021 to spring 2022 by implementing innocent classroom training. By the way, innocent classroom is pretty cool stuff. You should look that up. For staff and working with students to develop personalized support plans. All right, so we've got the data, we've got the time frame, we've got the impact, and we've got what we did, all right? I implemented the innocent classroom training for staff and I worked with students to develop personalized support plans. Very specific, very compelling accomplishment bullet. Another example, I developed an early attendance intervention system to identify and provide targeted support for students at risk of disengaging with school, increasing average daily attendance from 97 to 98% and reducing active truancy cases from 17 to 4 from October to January. Whatever your data show, wherever you need to focus, make a plan, set some goals, collect that data, and continue collecting that data until you have the outcomes to show for it. All right. So some of this you might have heard me talk about in if you were on our resume blueprint training, or if you've been through that in the member dashboard. There are some great tips in that training on how to word your accomplishments. One specific tip that I wanted to highlight is to use past tense verbs. You don't want to use the present tense. You don't want to use any kind of complicated tense. Just say past tense so that it reads like an accomplishment, even if that's the role that you're in right now, even if that is ongoing work. And one of my favorite tips, this is actually something that I pulled from the cover letter generator spreadsheet. When you're describing an accomplishment, you don't just want to say served on the committee or contributed to the development of or participated in. Like, you don't want to give yourself any kind of weak or passive role. What you want to do is you want to give yourself an active verb and not just like tried. You want to give yourself a constructive verb like developed a system. And I want to give you some examples here. So take a look at these combinations of a verb plus a thing, some sort of system, some sort of tangible thing that you developed or built or invented or put into place. Verbs like developed, created, obtained, provided, set up, established, arranged, refined, overhauled. I like overhauled because that one sounds like you're, you know, tearing apart a truck and putting it back together again. There's just an active feel there. And then what are you doing that action on? Some sort of system, a protocol, a procedure, a process. If you just do something every day, call that a process, right? Get systematic about it, make it a real process, but don't just say, oh, I have to call 100 parents every week about discipline things. You know, say that you developed a relationship with families or developed a process for intervening. You know, think of it as a thing, not just what you do, but think of it as a specific thing that you can state as an accomplishment in the past tense. Arranged a partnership, wrote a grant, overhauled our process for referring students to whatever, you know, launched a pilot project. Launched is another good verb. I don't have that one on there. Any other verbs that you would add, leave a comment and let me know. Or any things that you might be putting in place right now, a plan. I don't think I have plan on there, but a process, a training. Often what we're doing to address classroom management problems or discipline problems or culture issues is we're doing training, right? We're doing professional development. So you could say trained teachers, or you could say developed a professional development institute on whatever, whatever. But give yourself an active role. Plan what you're going to do and describe it as an accomplishment. And the formula is pretty simple here, right? What we're doing is we're just saying, I did X resulting in Y. And ideally, we would like to have some data in there. I verbed a system, right? I did something resulting in a percentage or a numerical increase or decrease, whatever it is, from whatever time frame to whatever time frame. We want to be as specific as possible about both what we did and what the impact was. And here is the silver lining in the clouds that may be raining on you every single day. My friend, the silver lining is that if things are bad right now, you have more opportunity to show a big impact. And I will tell you personally, in my career as a public school educator, I did not have the opportunity to show a big impact in a dramatic way. I was not a turnaround principal. The schools that I worked in were already doing well. I didn't make them do well. I didn't get them to do well. They were already doing well. And there wasn't just a ton of room to go, you know, from here to here, because things were already here when I was hired. And if you're in one of those situations where things are just dismal right now, if your attendance is below 90%, right, you're really struggling to get that up. If the referrals are off the charts, if you have bus referrals, if you have unfilled absences, any of those things that are bad right now, you, my friend, have the opportunity to make things much, much better in the coming months. And what I want to encourage you to do is think upstream, right? Not just how can I close this gap for today? How can I fix this problem, send this kid back to class, you know, deal with this discipline referral, call the parents, whatever, but how can I change what is contributing to this problem? And that is a harder type of work to do. It's one of those important but not urgent things that, you know, often we don't feel like we have the time for. But I want to encourage you to commit yourself to that work, because it's going to make your day-to-day easier to the extent that you can have that impact. And it's going to be better for everybody, right? It's going to have a bigger impact if we can solve some of those upstream issues. So again, check out the podcast with Dan Heath on his great book, Upstream, How to Solve Problems. It's just a tremendous book and a tremendous concept for solving problems, not just downstream, but really looking at what are the root causes that we can address. So here's my challenge to you. I want to challenge you to pick a problem right now and just, if you would, name that problem in the comments. Leave a comment. Let me know what problem you want to address. You don't have to write a whole goal here, but what problem would you address, and what verb and system would you use in the future to describe what you did? And again, let's say you have a problem with attendance right now. Implemented a new protocol for developing a partnership with families to improve student attendance, resulting in attendance going from whatever it is now, and you don't have to know the number today, but you can find out tomorrow, whatever it is now to wherever it ends up in January or whenever you're collecting your after data. Does that make sense? Leave a comment and let me know if that makes sense. I would encourage you to shoot for January as your outcome data timeline, because that probably is when you're going to be finalizing your resume and your cover letter and starting to apply for jobs for the following school year. You want to be ready sometime in January to plug those accomplishments in, to plug in that outcome data, and cite the impact that you had. So leave a comment. Let me know what area you can set some goals in, what verb and system term you might use. So pick a verb and a system term, talk with your leadership team, and get to taking some action. Because if I know one thing, it is that day-to-day struggle that you might be experiencing right now is only going to get better if A, the external circumstances change, which, you know, we don't have a lot of control over, or if B, we take some action to put a solution in place. And often that is a team effort. Often it takes some serious work. It takes some serious planning. It may take some resources. But I'm especially speaking to assistant principals right now. If you are dealing with breakdowns elsewhere in the organization because of teachers struggling with classroom management or kids just being kind of, having kind of a rough start to the year, you can continue to deal with all of those things, and I know you will, but I want you to, you know, to feel like you have the opportunity and have the leverage to do something about those upstream problems, right? And not just, you know, deal with the referrals when they get sent to you, but really to say, you know what, I am a leader, and what leaders do is they solve problems, not just the downstream problems, but the upstream contributors to those problems as well. So it may be that those teachers who are sending you 90% of the referrals, you know, I remember as a teacher having our administrative team do a presentation in the staff meeting and say, here are our referral numbers, and say, whoa, that's a lot of referrals, and here's where they're coming from. And they didn't name the teachers, but they put the transparency on the overhead projector. I'm dating myself here. And it seriously, it was like 90% of the referrals came from like two teachers. And I was relieved to see that I was not one of those teachers. But that's the kind of situation that often we're dealing with, where a little bit of targeted intervention, a little bit of targeted support can have a huge, huge, huge impact. So if you're dealing with 40 referrals a week, but most of them are coming from two teachers, this is something to talk with your admin team about and say, hey, what can we do to get these two teachers some support and some systems in place so that they are not sending, you know, 38 or 36 of our 40 referrals a week to the office for us to deal with and, you know, and basically monopolizing all of your time. All right, so that is what I have for you today. If you would like to get a jump on hiring season, I definitely want to encourage you to check out the Ascend application bundle. And if you are a member, you will find this in your dashboard, or if you've purchased this previously, you'll find this in your dashboard. If you need the link, feel free to email our customer service team. If you've already bought this, you don't have to buy it again. It doesn't expire. You have, you know, lifetime access to that bundle. Definitely do not leave that on the table. Make sure you take advantage of that because there's some really, really good stuff there. The Ascend Leadership Journal will help you keep track of your experience. The Resume Blueprint Workshop has, I think it's almost 2 hours. It's at least an hour and a half on how to write those accomplishment bullets and write a really strong resume with everything in the right order and list all of those accomplishments. And there's lots more in that bundle. So do check that out. If you're not a member, you can get that bundle at principalcenter.com/application. That'll give you a test drive of our membership as well. And you can see what all the excitement is about. But that is what I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for bearing with us through the technical difficulties. We will bump our start time by 10 or 15 minutes, so watch out for that announcement. And I will catch you next time on Ascend Live. Have a wonderful week.